Morning, if you would, to the book of Romans into the first chapter. The message I'm preaching this morning is a little different than normal. God had worked on my heart. I'd already had a message prepared for this morning in my normal series, and God was just working in my heart toward being thankful and this opportunity to really focus on giving thanks to the Lord and directed me through a number of passages that I was reading. And so I'm going to do some scripture reading this morning, more than typical. Often we'll go to one passage and just kind of flesh it out, as you might say, and look at the truths within that passage and develop its points. I really just recognize that I wanted to share Paul's thankful heart with you this morning. The last 2 weeks, as I was on the mountaintops of Colorado, I had the privilege of just kind of being alone with the Lord and just being thankful. As I sat there in the mountaintops, one of the things I was thankful for was my iPhone. You say, oh, you vain people. Even on a mountaintop, you can't get away from it. Well, you know what? I could sit there in the dark and read my Bible. I had an app and I brought it up. They said the reason I wasn't seeing any elk because I kept getting into my Bible and writing sermons. I wrote about 6 sermons on the mountaintops of Colorado. But you know, one of the things I just thank the Lord for is I could just be out there and just be in His Word and just enjoying that time. I was just enjoying God's creation. I looked at the majestic mountains around me, and depending where I was situated, I was looking into the mountain ranges, the Rockies even of Colorado, or even looking across the border right just a few miles away into Utah, and it looked so different. And I was looking at how beautiful it was one morning, and I thought, you know what? And this is after the flood. This is after destruction and devastation. I wonder what it looked like before the flood really rearranged and destroyed some of the beauty. Though we look at how beautiful it is today and the gorges and the mountaintops and the sunrise and the sunset. And then I began to ponder what those mountains may have looked like before they were devastated. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. And Paul, as I read, was a very thankful person. His thanks, first and foremost, was God. In fact, I've included in your study sheet, if you have it, just a couple of verses that I thought of without looking, without searching, just letting my mind run through the Scriptures. He says in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ." He realized that his deliverance from sin and from this sinful body was Jesus Christ, and he thanked God for him. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," he says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. And then I added one more verse I thought of later, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, where he says, "But God forbid that I should glory," that is the idea of rejoice or praise or bless, "save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, Paul was a very, very thankful man, and it started with how God changed his life and how God gave him purpose. But then I really got on to this study to where Paul was thankful for believers, or what I will call the church. Paul was so thankful for the church and for really 3 things. If I could, I'd like to give them to you at the very beginning, before I even read any of the passages, and instead of breaking the sermon and the reading by trying to switch to a different thought, I just want to share those thoughts. Number one, I think we should give praise and we should be thankful for salvation, their salvation, when speaking of the church. And that is for what they are in Christ. You know what? Without God, what are we? Without salvation, who are we? We find our purpose in life is through salvation. and through what we are in Christ. Secondly, you should be thankful for, and again, that's the church and their sanctification. And that's again how they become like Christ. Our sanctification is being set apart to become like Christ. And so Paul, as he's rejoicing in the salvation of various believers and of various churches. He rejoices in their sanctification. The fact that they aren't what they once were, that they become more like Christ the longer they become saved. Some of them, he rejoices in their love and how much they've grown in love and encouraging them to grow even more. And then finally, that you should be thankful for the church's service and what they've done for Christ. You know, Paul, I think he was a man that just appreciated people. And he didn't feel entitled to anything. You know, from time to time, guest speakers and maybe even pastors like myself maybe feel entitled to certain things. And I don't find that in Paul. In fact, Paul was just thankful and appreciative of what any body of Christ was doing for the Lord and or for him. And so I want to encourage you this morning along that line, as I want us to thank God, thanking God for the church. And we'll take us through some of these passages that have brought me to these three conclusions and encourage you to appreciate the body of Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we begin by thanking you for who you are and what you've done for us. Where should we begin? We found that in Christ, we've been made meet to be partakers of his inheritance. We found by the grace of God, by your grace, we are what we are. We found that if we're to glory in anything, we are not to glory in what we are, but we are to glory in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Father, then you also ordained, arranged, organized that there would be a body of believers that would come together to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to help one another, to minister to one another. And Father, we are to be thankful and appreciative of what one another does. Even as we have this service, we were ministered to by several pianists. We were sung to by a number of our ladies. Some have their children being watched either in a nursery or a junior church. And Father, we ought to be appreciative of those who have ministered to us this morning. We had men to take up a worshipful offering that we had. And just appreciate those that would volunteer to be part of those men who would gather finances and ask for wisdom to lead us in the spending of it. So Father, give us a greater appreciation for one another. And may we walk away from this service looking for opportunities to give thanks to you, first of all, for providing those people in our lives and for organizing the church, and then secondly, to them for ministering to us and to our families. Guide, as we look at your scriptures, may we see Paul's appreciation for others and develop that same mindset for our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, look with me here in Romans chapter 1. Paul is going to write 13 epistles in our New Testament, and a number of them he would write to individual churches in their various communities, and he would address each one of these separately and individually. For a large majority of them, part of his opening was to just express his appreciation. Again, that word just clicked with me this week, and it's a word you're going to probably hear several times throughout. But he just expressed his appreciation for the body of Christ that was in this church or in this community and what they were doing to become more like Christ and what they were doing to try to reach that community for Christ. Well, one church like this was in Rome, a place that he had longed to go to take the gospel to those that were at Rome. And Paul had the privilege of sharing the gospel, and there is now a church there in Rome. And would you look with me what Paul says after his opening introduction? Paul is writing to them as a servant of the Lord in verse number 1. But look at verse number 7. He's writing to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. As Paul addresses each one of these, and this is one of the things that God impressed upon my heart, is not just being thankful for the elite or those who are overly involved or active in the ministry and those who are personally helping, but we ought to be thankful for everyone within the body of Christ. And as Paul is writing, he says, I'm thankful for all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. By the way, Brother David, notice he didn't say for y'all. This is written to the northern people of God. God, you know what Paul is, he's expressing appreciation for all of them. And he says, you know what, I thank God for you because it is God that has placed this body in your life. Oh, we just don't come together. The word church is a called out assembly, and God places in the body, within the church, whosoever he will, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that there be no schism, no division here. And he says, you all are members in particular. He says, you're a member of that particular church. By the way, that wasn't where Paul was a member of. And he says, so you're part of that particular body, and I brought you all together. And so the first thing that Paul does, he says, I thank the Lord for you all. Why? Because the Lord is who has placed them. And so as you look around this body of Christ, if this is your local church, now maybe you're visiting or traveling through and this isn't your local church, but as you look through this local church, these are the people that God has placed within your life, and you first give the Lord thanks for them. For that your faith, he goes on to say in verse number 8, here's one of the things he's thankful for, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Their testimony was glowing, similar to the testimony of the church of Thessalonica, who had reached people in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul says, you know what? The faith that is here in this church in Rome is being talked about in the church of Jerusalem and the church of Galatia and the church of Ephesus and the church of Colossae. Other churches are talking about your faith. And I thank God for what he's doing in your behalf. And you know what, dear friends, we often hear back from our missionaries. We just heard from a missionary who stood in this pulpit several weeks ago as a lady sharing her testimony. And she thanked God for this body, and she said this body communicates more with her than any other church that supports her. And she says, you know what, I love my home church. I don't want a different home church, but you communicate with me more than my home church does. And in that sense, your faith, your appreciation, your faithfulness is even being testified. Look what it says in verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He says, you know what, I'm always praying for you, and here's one of my requests. I'm praying that God would allow me to come and visit you again. For I long to see you, verse number 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. You know what? Paul wanted to continually see them growing in the Lord. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul, again, is just rejoicing in the fact of their salvation and what they've become in Christ. And he says, you know what? I just want to be with you. I want to be part. I want to be around you as a body, appreciative of what they're doing. Look at chapter 6 for a moment. I just want you to see one verse. Continue in Romans. I want us to turn to two more places in Romans. Look at chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked. Again, thanksgiving to God. That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Dear friend, recognize if you are a child of God, it is only by the grace of God you are what you are. We've not arrived or become something special because of what we are. God hasn't saved you because I saw, wow, if I could save so-and-so, what an impact I could have. And he chose the upper echelon. In fact, no, what did he say? I've not chosen the wise or the noble. He's chosen the weak things that they might confound the mighty. You know, God has a great way of humbling us. We think we've become something. And he says, you know what? These are the kind of people I've chosen. And I understand there are some very brilliant and intelligent and talented and well-gifted people. But for the most part, God has just taken the simple to confound the wise. And God has given to us a peace that passeth all understanding. And for some of you, God took you out of a life of sin and gave you a life of purpose. God took you from that. God has helped to separate you from that sin so that you can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Let's look at an example of two of them. Let's go to the very last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. This is the book where, as Paul ends, he just starts expressing, again, here's the word, appreciation for all those people that have been around him ministering. Paul never thought that it was him. He was the key guy. Everything depended upon him. He was constantly encouraging others and using others within the ministry's sake. And he's going to begin to do that at the beginning of chapter 16. And I want you to notice two of them greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also, look at this, all the churches of the Gentiles. You see, we make up a church here, but there are other churches. And Paul says, you know what, I'm not only thankful for you, Aquila and Priscilla, for what you've done, but all the churches of the Gentiles. There are churches here, there are churches there that are thankful for you because Aquila and Priscilla would help to disciple and help to develop the maturity of believers. And they would come behind Paul. And while Paul would water and plant and another Apollos would water, God gave the increase. Paul recognized that other people were helpful for the ministry. So you in your life ought to stop and think, I ought to be appreciative of anyone who's influenced me to grow in the Lord. Or maybe there's someone influencing your child. And you know what? I think sometimes we take it for granted. I think sometimes we just feel like, well, that's due to us. They're supposed to be there. But you know what? If you have a child who's being taught in junior church, or you have a child that's being tended to in the nursery, I think it's great. Part of what they do in the nursery program here is they don't just sit there and watch your kids. You know, if I was there, I'd just be spoon-feeding them M&Ms if it was me. I'd be juicing them up for when you get them back. Here, let me put some Mountain Dew in your bottle. Amen. 5-hour energy drink. That ought to be good. You know what? We have a lot of nursery workers. They're teaching the children songs. They're teaching them memory verses. They can't read, but they can memorize. And you've got these children that are coming out of our nursery who are able to say Bible verses, and they're gotten through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're learning the books of the Bible in nursery. It isn't just a babysitting opportunity. It's a ministry. Helping parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I trust if you're a parent and you're someone in this church is influencing you or your children, boy, you'd show appreciation the activities that they develop for the young people and the college and career group and even their times of getting together. Show appreciation. Paul says, you know what? I appreciate Aquila and Priscilla. Not only do I, but all the churches for the influence that they are having for Christ. Turn with me now, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians. Corinthians. I almost skipped over. The church of Corinth. What a wonderful church, right? If there is, and you might not know the Bible well, if there is a church that struggled, that wasn't what they should have been in totality, it was the church of Corinth. In several places, what they were doing grieved Paul. And said he said it wasn't what they ought to be doing. He was ashamed of some of their activity. They were allowing sin within the body of Christ. They were partaking of the Lord's table, but in a way that did not glorify the Lord. It was not worthy of the way it should be partaken of. When he wrote the second letter to the church of Corinth, he did so to kind of justify his ministry because it was being greatly criticized in part by the people of Corinth. So if you would say any of the churches were maybe not his favorite or not the easiest church he worked with, it was actually the church of Corinth. Would you look here at the opening verses? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified. Remember, it's one of the key things we are to give thanks for. Those that have been set apart to become like Christ. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Look at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. Is there anyone in your life that you kind of forbear with? You long suffer with? It could possibly be these people of Corinth with Paul. But you know what? Even in these people, he found reasons to be thankful. He didn't skip over that part. He didn't write the letter in a different manner. He says, you know what? I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, look at this, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought, as believers, we are to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. And one of our prayers is to be, even so, what? Come quickly. I wonder, without a raise of hands, I wonder how many of us even asked the Lord to come quickly this week. Could it be we're so caught up in this world and the things of this world, we aren't even asking for Jesus Christ to come back for His own. In fact, might not even be wanting it. Because we've got other things planned and other things we'd like to do. And we'd really just like Him to just wait a while. It's really a sad state we might be in. Could it be that the Lord is going to come back for His own and we're not even going to be watching. We're not even going to be working. We're not even going to be waiting. We're just going to be entertaining and caught up. He says, you know, this church, I thank my God always for them. And there are some good things happening there. And I think it's kind of like the seven churches of the book of Revelation. God was working to find something in each of those churches that He could commend them for. Even though He had a condemnation, even though He had something to bring against almost all of them, He was always looking for something to commend them for. Paul says, you know what? There are a number of things that I can commend this church for. And it might be that way in your life. Maybe you're someone you'd really rather they not be part of your life. Really, you'd rather not be part of the body that you're worshiping in. You'd really rather them not be in your church. Well, then what you need to do is maybe visit the epistles of Paul and ask God to give you a heart that appreciates every believer and finding something to praise God for and appreciate in their lives. He said, boy, I appreciate what God has done, how God has enriched you, as God has given you knowledge. This is my testimony. You're confirmed in the Lord and you're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to the book of Ephesians with me, please. Again, Paul, throughout each one of these openings, is just seeking out and naming thing after thing, whether it be their salvation or sanctification of their service, of what they are in Christ and how they become like Christ and what they're doing for Christ. This church of Ephesians had to be one of the joy spots of the Apostle Paul. This was the community he was in the longest when establishing a church. He had come to Ephesus, who was known for the great temple of Diana and the worship of Diana, and he labored there for over 3 years, sharing with them the gospel, and then finally seeing the strongholds broken down. The books that they would bring to Paul were once used in worship for Diana, and they would bring them and have this huge burn pile burning these books that once focused their attention on worshiping Diana, and these people had turned from worshiping Diana to worshiping the true and living God. Paul had to be delighted after 3 years of hard labor sowing the gospel. He talks about in the book of Acts and calling the elders to Miletus. He says, I want you to know that night and day I labored in tears. He was with them publicly and from house to house. And no doubt it was the same at Ephesus. Look at verses 15 and 16. Wherefore also I also, after I heard of your faith. So this isn't necessarily the initial faith, because he was there for most of that, a lot of that. But there's new faith, there's new people getting saved, there's continuing faith, there are those that are continuing to walk in the Lord. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in your prayer. You know, as I started putting all this together, I thought, you know what? Paul doesn't pray 10 minutes a day. Paul doesn't pray, God bless this day, help it to go well, help me to get a raise today, keep me safe on the roads, bless the missionaries, amen. All these people, Paul's saying, I'm praying for you all the time. I'm upholding you. In fact, in this and the book of Colossians, he goes on to list some of his key prayer requests. The book of Philippians, it's a different list and the key prayer requests that he's praying for them. So Paul isn't just saying, bless the churches of Galatia and Ephesians, of Ephesus and of Colossae and of Philippi, and do your work in their lives. He was actually praying individually for these churches and these believers, and holding them up before the throne of grace. Would you turn over to the book of Philippians with me? He said, you know what? I'm ministering to you in prayer, thankful for you. No doubt each of these churches were having an influence and an impact. Of all the churches that Paul planted, the church of Philippi was the poorest. It was in a poorer community, as in Asia Minor, just like the church of Ephesus, but it was a poorer community. They would not have as much to offer Paul, but offered him more. Because it was in their poorness that they saw the richness of the ministry of Paul. And they gave once and again, he said, to his ministry. Paul developed a closeness with them and a closeness with some of their leaders who we would mention. The same would be of Colossae, a church he never attended. But look what he says in verses 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. This is what he was rejoined with. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, I am so thankful for you as a church and the fellowship. As we have had various people come through and in our ministries, and I've talked with various ones. Some are really thankful for our church and the influence we have had and the fellowship that we have had. They said, every time we visit your church, we just joy and rejoice with your body of Christ here. And I praise God for that testimony. Look what he says, though, in verse number 6. And I think this gives hope to all of us. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will what? So let me ask you this question. Is God done with you? No. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says he's trying to bring us to will and to do his good pleasure. And so let us give thanks for one another, being confident also of this, that God isn't done with them. And so then we ought to be imparting our spiritual gifts to try to be an encouragement and a help to one another. Again, we ought to be coming here not just to be ministered to, but to minister. Who can you reach out to? Who can you impact? Don't overlook it. Please, as the Lord has given you a ministry, do it with all your heart. Don't quit. Keep serving. Use that opportunity. God has given you a wonderful opportunity to influence people for Christ. Continue to do so. Recognize God's not done with them, so we shouldn't give up on them either. So continue to minister to one another. Look at Colossians, please, with me. Colossians chapter 1. Now this again is a different church. I'm trying to mention with each of these churches a standout difference. This is the only church that Paul writes to that he actually never visited. He was actually never at Colossae. He actually did not plant the church of Colossae. He helped in establishing the other churches mentioned. This church is unique. It's again in Asia Minor, but Paul had never had the necessity of going there, though he worked closely with Epaphroditus, Tychicus, and others who would really minister within this body of Christ. It is believed that Epaphroditus, the one of the disciples of Paul, was actually the man who planted this church. It would kind of be for us the Mike Foster who's gone up to plant Hope Baptist Church of our church, who has left the ministry here to plant another. And what's he say in verses 3 and 4? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. And again, notice, he's thankful for all of them. There are two people I thought of when reading through that and meditating on this. Years ago, working at the university as a student, I worked at the press warehouse delivering and packaging books that would be delivered to various homes and schools, Christian schools. And I worked with a man named Tim Kazee, who a few years later became Dr. Kazee, and now is the founder of Frontline Ministry. I remember following him some in his ministry, and he was in Thailand. And I was watching, you can go online and watch some of his very informative videos. And I remember him talking about sitting there in Thailand and with back in a remote third world part of the world. And he says, as we fellowshiped, and he was talking about over a meal, and the strange food that they would eat. He said, I looked into the eyes and recognized these were my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it just broke his heart. He says, I don't know their language, but I know their heart. And how they love the Lord and came to be fed the Word of God. And I heard something similar from Becky. And Becky had come back from one of her missions trips, and God had just impressed upon her. I don't remember if it was the Philippines or one of the others, the Fiji Islands, Papua New Guinea, wherever it was. But Becky had come back, and she said, you know, I looked at her, I just recognized these are my brothers and sisters. And I thought, you know, it's so easy to look at another body of Christ and just, man, I love the fact they're all believers. But when you're part of it, how it can become fractioned. We're thankful for them all when we don't know them that well. But sadly, once we begin to develop relationships and friendships and all, sometimes we develop animosity. And one of the things we have to recognize, thanks be to God for placing these people into our lives. And while Paul didn't know this church individually, he knew the fact that they were in Christ and he was praying for them. But as we do know one another individually, how appreciative we ought to be of one another. And the fact that we're in Christ, and no, we're not all perfect, but God's not done with us. God's not done with me either. And God's not done with you either. None of us are perfect. None of us are the exception to the rule. None of us are the model for Christianity. Christ is the model for Christianity. And so I think within the body of Christ, we ought to look into one another and just be appreciative and thankful for what God has given us, and that God came up with the idea of organizing a church and having them meet together and ministering, and one isn't more important than the other. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. No, we need each other. God has made it that way. Would you look finally with me, 1 Thessalonians? Begin with verse 2. This is a church that he planted in persecution. They removed Paul from here, ended up in Berea, because the people of Thessalonica wanted to kill Paul for the ministry he was having. But thankfully, a nucleus of Christians came together, and after Paul left, that remnant built a church. It began to affect Achaia, Macedonia, those communities around them. And he says in verse number 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, knowing that you're saved, for our gospel came unto you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your... So he just developed a love and appreciation. And my final application is this. Who are you giving thanks to God for that is in your life within the body of Christ? First of all, I think we owe thanks to God who places people within the body, that there be no schism, and that we would work together for the cause of Christ, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Then I think there's also a level, just like Paul did, Paul showed personal appreciation, and I think I would encourage you upon leaving the service, as you have the opportunity, maybe picking up a child from junior church or picking up a child out of the nursery or seeing a teen leader or seeing one of the deacons who have ministered to you, or a brother or sister in Christ who has reached out and ministered, or the Gehrigs who would lead the seniors ministry, or the Hildebrands who influence within the college and career group, and all the, we ought to seek out and just appreciate, giving thanks to God first and foremost, and thanks to the others for ministering to this body faithfully for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray.